Magandang umaga.
Magandang umaga.
Kamusta? Good morning to all of you and welcome to this service today. It's a joy for me to be here again this Sunday and to share with you what God has placed on my heart. As we were worshiping, I felt that God's presence was very, very strong this morning.
Yes.
It was amazing that such a strong presence of God. So I just want us to begin this today as we look at His Word, just to spend some time in silence. Let's absorb the presence of God. Let His presence come and fill us. Let His presence come and calm our hearts of whatever we've been going through this week. So let's close our eyes for a few minutes and invite God to come. Lord, You're here this morning. I pray that You would just refresh us this morning. Let Your presence be like dew this morning in our midst. The Holy Spirit is touching many of you this morning. Let Him come. Don't resist it. Father, it's such a joy to be in Your presence. Thank You that in Your presence there is peace, there is grace. And thank You, Father, that You embrace us in Your love, that Your hands are around us this morning, hugging each one of us. We praise You. We praise You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome, Pastor Jennifer. It's really nice to see you, and I hope you're okay in quarantine. I know it's going to be difficult the 3 weeks just to be isolated, but we're with you. We want to encourage you. You know, we've lived in these past 2 years in a very, very unusual situation. It's been unstable. It's changed the way we travel, the way we communicate. Everything has been so upside down. But I believe in the midst of all of this, God wants us to be strong. Not like a weed read in the wind that shakes, but to have a firm anchor, to let our roots go deep down and absorb from His presence. In the stream, Psalm 1 says that a tree planted by the river is strong. Its roots go down and they get their nourishment from there. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be strong, not to be shaken this morning by our circumstances or whatever our fears are, but He wants us to be strong, to be established. And He wants us to trust Him above everything else. You know, fear is something that has really grabbed many of us this past year. Fear of the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. But in the midst of all of that, God wants us to say, He says, trust me. There are storms around us. There are fears around us. There's so much uncertainty. But God wants us to be strong this morning. So that's the message I want to bring to you this morning about being strong, being faithful, being established in the Lord. When you look at five smooth stones, what do you think of? It's the story of David. David was a shepherd boy, and basically he was unknown. So God tells Samuel, the prophet, that Saul is no longer the king. I don't trust him anymore. And I want you to anoint a new king. So Samuel prepares and goes to the house of Jesse. And then as he goes there, they're very fearful of why Samuel has come. And Samuel says, I come in peace in the name of the Lord. And so they offer a sacrifice. And he calls Jesse and says, bring your sons. And Samuel goes through each son. First he looks at Eliab, the eldest, and says, and he thinks that this is the person that God wants to be as king, because he was tall, he was well built, and this is the man that... And for interesting, as you look at that, the way Samuel operates, he's operating more in the flesh rather than in the spirit. He's looking at the man as they are. But the scripture says God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And so he goes through seven sons, and God says, no, none of them. And then he comes, and Samuel asks Jesse, is there one more? And he says, yes, there is one more, the youngest, and he's out looking after the sheep. And so Samuel tells Jesse, call him. And David comes, this young, inexperienced boy, and Samuel anoints him, and God says, yes, this is my man. This is the man after my own heart. So David was the youngest of eight sons, the least, the smallest, the insignificant, the one considered unimportant, doing the most insignificant, undesired, unappreciated job of all brothers. He's basically looking after the sheep in the wilderness. And while David is there in the wilderness, he learns something. He learns to trust God. It's a lesson that he learns with great difficulty. If you read 1 Samuel 16 and 17, you'll find that David says that I have fought the lion and I have fought the bear and I have overcome. So in that context, I'm just giving you a background of who David is. So David then, Jesse decides to send David to the front line of battle, because there is a man who's come now who's challenging the people of Israel. His name is Goliath, and he's 9 feet tall. Imagine, I'm about six, so it's above this. His head will probably touch this, or maybe above this. So he's tall as that, and he's coming with the armor. And day and night, he threatens the people of Israel and says that, you come and fight with me. And the whole of Israel, including Saul, are afraid. And then David comes with the provisions that Jesse sends for his brothers. And he goes to the battlefront, and he finds this Philistine, this tall giant of a man, challenging the people of Israel. And then he makes this comment, who is this man who stands against God, the people of Israel? And his brothers tell him, you keep quiet. What are you making all these noises? And David tells him that, why are you telling me this? And so we pick up the story from there. So David is anointed, and when they enter, they look. So we went through that already. I'll go to the next slide. And this is what happens. Let's read it together. Then look at what David says. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Where did David get this strength from to come and challenge this giant of a man? In the wilderness, as he was there. So when he goes to Saul, Saul puts on this armor of him because Saul is looking at this battle from human eyes. He doesn't realize that God can do something new. And so he tells David, put on this armor that I have. So he put on a coat of armor on him, a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Sometimes in our life, we try to do the same thing. We use the weapons of the world today to fight our battles. But here you can clearly see that this is not the case with David. He's uncomfortable with what's happening with this armor of Saul. And then he says, I cannot go in this because I'm not used to them. So he took them off, then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. So when Saul challenges him and says, can you do this? Are you brave enough to do this? David makes a very interesting point. He says, when I was in the wilderness, I fought against the lion and I fought against the bear to save the sheep. Interesting combination. The lion is the most strongest. Those of you who are from Uganda would know the lion is one of the strongest of animals. And the bear, on the other hand, is cunning. The lion cannot climb a tree, but the bear can. And if you combine these two, the strength and the cunningness, sometimes that's what happens in our lives. That's how we get disillusioned in our lives and what is happening in our lives. And that's how we have fears, that's how we have uncertainty, because the lion comes with strength and the cunningness also comes to try and deceive us. So let's be careful in our walk with God that the lion doesn't come and disturb us, or the cunningness, the thoughts that come in our lives, the disturbances that come in our lives, that these will not disturb us. So David goes and then he says, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is mighty. It's powerful. How many of you have seen the movie Dunkirk? Okay, a few of you. it was an amazing movie that it showed about during World War II, about 2 weeks ago, I think. Was Remembrance Sunday?
Last week,
when everybody was wearing poppy on there. So this was basically Dunkirk, where 338,000 troops were surrounded by the German army. And during the Battle of Dunkirk, from May 26 to June 4, some 338 troops were surrounded by the Germans. They had no escape. But what one of the things that many people don't know, there's a story behind this. At that time, the whole of England was shaking with fear. Churchill was the prime minister, and he said he thought there was defeat, that was all these soldiers would be defeated and be killed. But then the king, King George, decided to do something. He called a day of prayer. King George called a national day of prayer on 26th of May, 1940. And there were four miracles that took place in 3 days. First, the whole of England went down on their knees. Churches were full on that Sunday, and people were queuing outside churches to go and pray. There was such a lot of prayer going on that for 3 days, something miraculous happened. First, there was a vicious storm that arose over northern France and the area around Dunkirk, grounding the Luftwaffe, that is the German Air Force. So the German Air Force was coming and bombing the troops, and they couldn't, for the first day, as soon as this prayer started, they couldn't fly even, because there was this very powerful storm. Then the second miracle was that the calm descended on the English Channel. The English Channel is usually very choppy, it's very rough. But for those 3 days, it was very, very quiet. It was just like a lake. And it was amazing that that this miracle happened. Then the third thing that happened was that Hitler halted the offensive in the last week of May, and the German military units fighting in the Battle of Dunkirk received conflicting orders. So there was total confusion in the German army. Nobody really knew what was happening, because Hitler said, let's stop this war, because he thought that they would win the war. And then the fourth miracle was that within a week, all the troops were evacuated to London on small boats. So there were big boats, small boats, and everything that was there, just because England knelt down in prayer. And that was the miracle that happened at Dunkirk. Amazing what things happen when we pray, when we get down on our knees and come before God and worship Him and pray. God can change a whole nation, whole circumstances. Imagine in a war situation, stopping everything, changing the weather, changing the sea, and helping the evacuation. Another story that I'd like to share with you this morning is about Vietnam. It's about the Word of God and how we can really use the Word of God and what the Word of God does to us. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a path to me. How often do we use the word to say, Lord, show me your way. Show me your path. What do you have for me? So in Vietnam, there was this man called... Hien Pham. He was about 17, 18 years old. And he helped the Americans to translate. His English was very good, and so he helped the Americans to translate. And one of the persons that he helped was a missionary who had come to Vietnam, who was traveling around Vietnam. And because of his talent, he was able to go to many places in Vietnam and share the gospel. Many, many people came to the Lord during that time. And then when the war ended, the government, the communist government, arrested Hien Pham and put him in jail. And they tortured him, and they brainwashed him. Every day they would say that you are a spy for the CIA. And then they would give him all the communist ideology day and night. He had to read books on the communist ideology and repeat it to his guards. So he came to a point in his life when he just gave up, and he says that, I don't really believe in God anymore, because I might have been lied to by these Christians, by this evangelist who's traveling in the country. And so he said, I'm going to stop praying. The next morning, something interesting happened. He was assigned to go and clean the toilet. So the toilet was very dirty. There was human waste all over. There's urine. There was bad smell. And everybody who went into this toilet had to wear a mask on their face, a very thick mask, so that the smell would not overpower them. So everybody hated this job, but he was chosen that morning to go. So as he went in to the toilet to clean the human waste and clean the toilets, he noticed a bucket there, again full of human waste, and he saw a piece of paper there. And the paper was in English, and it caught his eyes, and the guards were looking at him, and he wondered what this paper was. So he took the paper, cleaned all the human waste, cleaned the urine, put it in his pocket. And then that night, as he was in his room, when everybody was asleep, he pulled out a flashlight or a torch and started reading. This has stopped working. No. And do you know what verse that was on that piece of paper? It was this verse. Let's read it together.
And we know that all things are works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sorrow? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither
separate us from the love of Christ. Sorry, I forgot to put that. So next morning, he decided to volunteer again to go and clean the toilets. And that was his job for the next few days. He discovered that one of the army commanders had a Bible, and he was using it every morning to clean himself. So he would go pick up the Bible and then read it, because it was so precious to him. You know what a privilege we have. We have this word that we can read anytime, that we can look to anytime. So scripture says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So where is the word of God in your life? Are you reading it? How often do you read it? Maybe once a month? Every day? The word of God is precious. It was precious for Hanfam. And it should be precious for us too. So I'd encourage you to read the word. Are you meditating on the word? In Jeremiah it says that I found your word and I ate it. Do you eat the word of God? You know, we so often look forward to our food, to our meals. But is the word of God something that you can really look forward to eating? And are you treasuring it in your heart? You know, when the wise men came to Mary when Jesus was born, they said many things. And it says, the scripture says that Mary treasured them in her heart. So I'd encourage you this morning to treasure God's word. Memorize it. God can use those opportunities to speak to you. Speak to you through a song. Speak to you through a word. Okay, so sorry I'm making you read a lot of scripture today. But just one more. Okay, finally.
Strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world,
is writing to the Ephesians and he says, finally be strong in the Lord, and then he says, put on the armor of God, because so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So the reason to put on the armor is to take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then he goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So this is something that Paul encourages us to do. So Paul paints a picture of the Christian in a complete armor, ready to go into battle with the devil. He describes six parts of the soldier's uniform. First, the belt, the breastplate, the sandals, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. So this is basically how he was picturing a Roman soldier. And each of the part, when you went into battle, protected you. Each of these things. But interesting, you see, if you notice, the armor is always, it's only in front. There's nothing at the back. Because God always has our back. Have you ever thought of that? God always has our back. So even as we go into battle time and again, God has our back. As Stephen read when he was leading worship, he read from Exodus as they crossed the Red Sea. What happened there? At night, the fire was in front and at the back. God was protecting his people, and that's what he does for us. He protects us. And even when we wear the armor, that's what that happens to us. So Paul says, pick it up. Pick it up. Get dressed. Put your shoes on. Get ready. And pray at all times. So this morning, I want us to stand. I want us to stand and put on this armor. We'll go through each of the things that Paul says that we should put on. So if you don't mind standing. And you might have to do the putting on the belt or putting on the armor. And this is basically a prayer that I want us to pray as we put on the belt. First thing that we put on the belt to truth. Okay? So take your belt, put it on, and let's pray this prayer. Father,
by faith I put on the belt of truth. Renew my mind to what is true. Fill me with truth. The truth is that you are a sovereign God who loves me and cares for me. The truth about me, Lord, is that I am a new creation in Christ and have been set free from the power of sin. Nothing can separate me from your love. Holy Spirit, guide me and warn me when danger is near. I am your child, and nothing can separate me from your love. The truth is that you have a purpose for me this day. Someone to encourage, someone to share with, someone to love.
So that's the belt of truth that we have. The truth is that he is sovereign. That he's there. He set us free from the power of sin. So let's put on the next armor. Which one do you think this one is? It's the breastplate of righteousness. So again, we need to put this on as this comes on. Okay, let's take the breastplate and now put it on our chest. Next, Lord. Breastplate of righteousness is to guard our hearts. It's from our hearts that evil thoughts come. And this is something that we put on every day. Okay, let's go to the next one. So now we put on the sandals. The sandals basically represent the gospel of peace. Okay, let's put on the sandals. Lord. Okay, the next one. It's the shield of faith. Let's pray.
Lord, I am not taking up the shield of faith. Lord, my faith is in you and in you alone. Apart from you, I can do nothing. With you, I can do all things. No temptation that comes my way can penetrate your protecting hand. I will not be afraid. You are going with me throughout this day. When I face these temptations, remind me that the victory has already been won. I can do all things through you, Jesus.
So that is the shield of faith that we have. And then now we put on the helmet of salvation. Put it on. By faith.
By faith, I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on this helmet that will protect my mind. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for believing me. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to live inside me. Holy Spirit, I surrender my will to you today. I surrender my thoughts to you. I choose to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I choose to stop every impure and negative thought at the door of my mind.
It's the head that always, the thoughts that come into our minds that distract us. So the helmet protects us from that. And finally, this prayer. Last,
I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Thank you for the precious gift of your word. Your word says that I am free from the power of sin. Your word says that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. So by faith I take up the strong and powerful sword of the Spirit, which is able to defend me in time of attack. Comfort me in time of sorrow. Teach me in time of meditation.
I rejoice
in you today, Jesus. May your joy be my strength, and let your grace and mercy follow my life. Jesus, you are my vision. Amen.
One of the things that I've learned to do is to put on this armor every day. As I wake up, as I begin my day, I go through this, putting the armor. And I find that this really helps me. It encourages me, it protects me. When the lion comes or the bear comes trying to distract me, the armor of God protects me. So I'd encourage you to do that in the morning. Every morning when you get up, as you begin the new day, put on the armor of God and walk with it. God will give you the strength. God will give you the courage. God will give you the power to face whatever you're facing today. So this morning I want to end with worship. I'm going to ask Brother Stephen to come.
I felt that we should sing again this song of Moses that we alluded to earlier. Hallelujah.
Oh, the Lord, our strength and song, highest praise to Him belongs. Christ the Lord, the conquering King, Your name we raise, Your triumph sing. Praise the Lord, our mighty warrior, praise the Lord. Worship You, we'll be like the raging sea. From death to life, You safely lead. Praise the Lord, our mighty warrior. Praise the Lord, the glorious One. By His hand we stand in victory. By His name.
Oh, the saints and angels bound,
hosts of heaven crying out,
oh, glory, glory to the
King, who reign for all eternity.
Praise
the Lord, our mighty warrior. Praise the Lord, our glorious One.
One more time, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord, He is the one.
Hail to the King.
Hail to the King. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the one who delivers me. Hail to the King. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the one who delivers me.
And let's praise the King.
Praise to the King. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the one who delivers me.
Oh, praise to the King.
Praise to the one. Praise to the one who delivers me.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise to the King, the one who delivers us. We bless you, O God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Father, we just come before you today. We thank you, Father, for your presence with us this morning. Thank you for, Lord, touching us. Lord, may we cherish your word and may we walk in your ways. Father, help us to put on the armor every day. Each part of it. And Lord, I pray that your grace will abound in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.